Good morning and welcome to Blueprint for Wealth. I'm Wayne Zell, your host of this fast-paced half hour of special topics and special guests designed to help you realize your personal dreams of wealth and freedom. Blueprint for Wealth is brought to you by Odin, Feldman, and Pittleman, a full-service law firm located in Fairfax, Virginia, serving the entire Washington, D.C. metro area with clients all across the country. If you'd like to know more about Odin, Feldman, and Pittleman, visit us on the web at ofplaw.com. And I'd like you to subscribe to my blog at blueprintforwealth.org, where you can find topics of interest in tax, estate planning, and business planning in video form, audio form, or in written form for your reviewing and researching pleasure. And lastly, I invite you to read my business column in the Washington Business Journal every month entitled Blueprint for Wealth on topics of interest in the tax, estate planning, and business planning areas. Today is my final in a series of four sessions discussing stock options and different types of equity incentive plans. I always like to talk about it because it's one of the areas that I service clients most frequently in and have a lot of experience in it. And I'd like to share my experience with you. And if you need some help, obviously give us a call at 703-218-2100. Today we're going to be talking about ESOPs, Employee Stock Ownership Plans. Employee ownership can be accomplished in a variety of different ways. The employees can actually buy stock directly from the company. They can be given the stock in the form of a bonus, or they could receive stock options like we've talked about many times. They can even receive stock in a profit-sharing plan. Some employees become owners through worker cooperatives where everyone has an equal vote. But the most common form of employee ownership in the U.S. today is the ESOP, the Employee Stock Ownership Plan. It was unknown until 1974. Now, about 11,000 companies have these plans, covering over 13 million employees nationwide. Companies use ESOPs for a variety of reasons. Unlike the impression that you can get from the media reports, ESOPs almost are never used to save a troubled company. Only at most a handful of such plans are set up each year. Instead, ESOPs are more commonly used to provide a market for shares of departing owners of successful closely held businesses. These plans motivate and reward employees, or they're designed to take advantage of incentives for the company to actually borrow money and to acquire new assets using pre-tax dollars. In almost every case, ESOPs are a contribution to the employee, not an employee purchase. Here are some rules that relate to ESOPs. It's a kind of employee benefit plan, similar in ways to profit-sharing plans or pension plans. In an ESOP, a company sets up a trust fund, and it contributes new shares of its own stock or cash to buy shares of existing owners in the company. Alternatively, the ESOP can borrow money from a bank, let's say, to buy new or existing shares, with the company making cash contributions to the plan every year to enable it to repay the loan that it used to buy the shares. Regardless of how the plan acquires the stock, company contributions made to the trust can be deducted for income tax purposes within certain limitations. Shares that are held in the trust are allocated to the individual employee participants in the form of employee accounts. Although there are some exceptions, generally all full-time employees over the age of 21 are allowed to participate in the plan. Allocations are made either on the basis of their pay or some other equal, fair formula. As employees accumulate seniority with the company, they acquire an increasing right to the shares in their account. This is a process that we call vesting. Employees have to be 100% vested within 3 to 6 years under the ESOP rules, depending on whether the vesting is all at once, which is cliff vesting, or gradual, which means that they vest over a period of years. When an employee leaves the company, he or she receives their stock. The company has to buy it back from them at fair market value, unless there's already a public market for the shares. In that case, the employee can sell it on the market. Private companies must have an annual outside valuation, every year to determine the price of their shares. In a private company, an employee must be able to vote his or her allocated shares on major issues, such as closing or relocating businesses or plants. But the company can choose whether to pass through the voting rights, such as for the board of directors, and on certain other issues. In publicly held companies, employees have to be able to vote all issues. But again, you can limit the issues that a participant in an ESOP has the right to vote on in a privately held company. How do we use ESOPs? Well, one of the most common ways that I've seen them used is to buy shares of an owner who wants to get some liquidity, meaning that the owner may own 75 or 100% of the company. The company establishes an employee stock ownership plan for the purpose of allowing the owner to transfer some, if not all, of his or her shares to the trust for the benefit of the employees. This allows them to create a ready market for their shares. In this approach, the company can make tax-deductible cash contributions to the ESOP to buy out the owner's shares, or again, it can have the ESOP borrow money to buy the shares. It also is used to allow the company to borrow money at a lower after-tax cost. Why? ESOPs are unique among benefit plans because they can borrow money. The ESOP borrows cash, and it uses the cash to buy company shares or shares of the existing owners. The company then makes tax-deductible contributions to the ESOP, which then repays its loan. And it basically is getting a tax deduction not only for the interest, but for the principal payments as well. That makes it really unique. A third use of an ESOP is to create an additional employee benefit apart from all the other employee benefits that the company has created for the workforce. A company can simply issue new shares, or it can issue treasury shares, shares that were previously issued but have been redeemed or repurchased. And they can issue these shares to the ESOP and deduct the fair market value of the shares for up to 25% of covered pay of the participants from taxable income. Or the company can contribute cash. It can use that cash to buy the shares from existing public shareholders or private owners. In public companies, which only account for about 5% of the plans that are out there, but about 40% of the plan participants, ESOPs are used in conjunction with employee savings plans. Rather than matching employee savings with cash, the company can match them with stock from an ESOP, and therefore may be able to use a higher match than otherwise would be achieved in using cash. What are the major tax benefits of using an employee stock ownership plan? Well, the tax benefits are significant. The most important are, number one, contributions of the stock to the trust by the company are tax deductible. This means that a company gets a current cash flow advantage by issuing new shares of stock or even treasury shares to the ESOP, even though it means that the existing owners' percentage interest in the company will be diluted or reduced. Number two, cash contributions are tax deductible. A company can contribute cash on a discretionary basis from year to year and take a tax deduction for it, whether the contribution is used to buy shares from existing owners or build up a cash reserve for future use. Number three, contributions that are used to repay a loan that the ESOP takes out to buy company shares are tax deductible. I just mentioned this, but it's a significant benefit. The ESOP can borrow money to buy existing shares. It borrows it from a bank. The bank loan proceeds are used to buy the existing shares. The cash is transferred to the departing or existing owner. Or it might buy new shares and just dilute the existing owner. Regardless of the use, the contributions of the cash made to the plan to repay the loan are deductible in pre-tax dollars. Number four, if the company is a C corporation, not an S corporation, but a C corporation, the sellers of the stock can defer their tax consequence. Once the ESOP owns 30% of all the shares in the company, the seller can reinvest the proceeds that they receive from the sale of their shares in other publicly traded securities and defer any tax on the gain of the sale of their original shares until they sell those new securities that they just bought. That is what we call a 1042 rollover, and it is a significant, significant tax benefit for owners of subchapter C corporations. Number five, in S-corps, the percentage of ownership held by an ESOP is not subject to income tax at the federal level and often at the state level. That means, for example, that there's no income tax on 30% of the profits of an S-corp where the ESOP holds 30% of the stock, and no income tax at all on the profits of an S-corp that's wholly owned by an ESOP. The ESOP still must get a pro rata share of any distributions the company normally makes to its owners, but this tax benefit is huge. There are other benefits associated with ESOPs. If you'd like to know more about them, give us a call at 703-218-2100. I'm Wayne Zell, and you're listening to Blueprint for Wealth.